Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius.
He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to Pick and Pod. My name is Kurt Sippel. I don't know why Colin Banks, our producer, is looking at me when I was making that intro there. But welcome to this episode of Pick and Pod. I am Kurt Sippel, joined alongside Izzy Randazzo, as well as Derek Bullier. How are we doing, guys? Off an All-Star weekend. Not much basketball going on this week, but we start again tomorrow, but not much basketball happening this week other than All-Star weekend. How are we doing, everyone?
We're good. We're excited for more basketball tomorrow. It's been kind of a dry few days, obviously, without basketball, but we're ready for the NBA to come back in full swing.
I'm ready for the MLB to come back. Like, I know we're on Pick and Pod, but nosebleed soon. I'm ready to get back on there, but excited to watch more basketball. The All-Star weekend, I didn't watch a whole lot, but, I mean, much improvement for a lot of it, which we'll get into. And then, obviously, some things at the end. The All-Star weekend, we just need to get rid of. we'll talk about that.
Well, to start out, I think what we can talk about the most is Adam Silver was probably under the most amount of pressure he's been in probably since he took over as commissioner. Right now you have gambling scandals, the tanking scandal that's going on in the NBA, fining teams for tanking, and last year's All-Star weekend, really, in nice terms, it sucked. It was really not great. The product on the court was poor. You didn't get much defense. It was in Indianapolis. And the small city, there was a lot of failure in Indianapolis. I remember hearing from a King of the Fourth Quarter, Kenny Beecham. He was saying there was four Ubers for the entire state when they were in Indianapolis for the All-Star game. But I think this All-Star weekend might have been the most fun I can really remember, other than when it might have been in Brooklyn back in the day.
I bring up Brooklyn
because that was one of the best dunk contests we got in quite a while. Back then, that's why it was fun. The game might not, and that was Kobe's last year and all of that as well, but that's why it comes to mind, because it's nostalgic as a basketball fan. And that's kind of what we've been hearing from a lot of the players is, do you really care about All-Star Weekend, or is this just nostalgia for you? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it is like. And I think this year was something that you can look at as an NBA fan and say, this wasn't just nostalgia for me. I think that this was one of the more exciting games that we've gotten to watch in recent memory. And we can start with the All-Star game if you guys want, or we can start with the lead-up to the All-Star game. I think probably lead-up to the All-Star game just a little bit before we do that. The lead-up to the All-Star game, we got to see the celebrity game, which is constantly a joke. it's always pretty ridiculous, the celebrity game. We got to see Shams be really bad at basketball and be on the same team as Giannis. Thought that was pretty funny. We got to see the Rising Stars game, which if you saw on Twitter, the attendance for the Rising Stars game was minimal at best, which was kind of interesting because it's kind of interesting because you pay all this money for an All-Star game ticket, and yes, people have probably been priced out, and there's a lot of sponsors at that game, and people are just going for free. But you pay all this money for an All-Star game ticket, you would think you want to watch every single event that you got to see. But you don't see that all the time, and that has to do with probably pricing out most of the people that would go to the All-Star game and be excited about it. But overall, what did we think of the first day of All-Star weekend? And then we can break down the Rising Stars game.
Actually, Izzy, you can go first. I don't want to go first.
So the celebrity game? Should we unpack the celebrity game?
No.
You mean Saturday?
No, we could talk about the celebrity game a little bit if you'd like. I just think it's really funny. It's just the perception of it that the celebrity game always gives me, like, who cares, is in my opinion of it. But I guess they keep doing it because people like it.
I think it is just, it's 100% for the entertainment factor. It's not good basketball. By any means, is it?
Why is Taco Falls on the team?
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it was fun to have Shams on the team. Like, Glorilla. I'm a fan of Glorilla, so I...
I saw Glorilla live for the McDonald's All-American game last year. She was the performance
was
in,
it good?
In halftime. I didn't really know what was going on because I didn't think there was a halftime performance for the 25 people at the McDonald's All-American game.
She's just there.
Yes.
She was just... She popped out. I mean, was it my favorite event of All-Star Weekend? Certainly not. But like I said, seeing Shams on the court, that was interesting. Who else? There was that guy from Dude Perfect.
Tall guy?
Yeah. I forgot
Cody
about
Jones.
Them.
Not, he was tall guy in the game.
He was not good.
I forgot
he
about Dude
really
Perfect.
He was really bad.
He was not
Taco
a tall
Falls
guy.
Dropped 2020. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, but I mean, it's fun to watch. It's entertaining. So, I mean, I'll take it.
The entertainment factor is definitely there, but it needs revamping, I think. And I guess it's always been like a entertainment thing, but...
Yeah, the whole point is to watch your favorite celebrity suck at basketball.
But it's not like they're all great celebrities also. Like, low-key, a lot of the celebrities that you're looking at, it's like the Suns chairman was on the court. And that's cool and funny. Like, if you could make it so that it's like front office versus owners, that would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
But like, why is he on the court on Anthony why is Anthony Anderson the coach? What is Anthony Anderson the coach of the celebrity game for? I just don't get that.
Well, why is it Giannis' whole family and then Mookie Betts?
Also, I didn't understand why Mookie Betts was an assistant coach. And he did nothing else for All-Star Weekend other than be the assistant coach of the celebrity game for Giannis.
It's kind of like, let's just put a bunch of people in roles and see how they do.
They
with minimal training.
They just, like, reply all to an email. Just sent, like, this email
to 100.
Everybody.
To
everyone.
To everybody that they have on their celebrity list.
Yeah.
And see who would
these
take
are the
it.
People that replied.
Who would take
Keegan
it?
Keegan-Michael Key. Amon Ross St. Brown.
Keegan-Michael Key took a, it was pretty good in the game, and he was pretty entertaining, too. When
he
was
hilarious.
He's very really funny. But... Let's break down now the Rising Stars game, which is usually one of the more fun events that we get during All-Star Weekend because it's the young guys. They get the opportunity to play and get shown on the court for a lot of the fans. It was a little sad we didn't get to see some of the top people playing. Like, Cooper Flagg wasn't in the game, of course. I mean, it makes sense. But the first matchup, when we saw Team Melo's team playing Team Vince Carter, I believe that was the first matchup that we got to see. Team Vince Carter went all the way to win, and I know we were all excited about that in the studio. I'm not sure if Mr. Hornets was excited over here.
No.
But we got to see VJ Edgecombe. We got to see Yegor Diomin, the only net at All-Star Weekend. The snub was ridiculous for MPJ, who should have been an All-Star. Not biased
sure.
at all.
Snub. Yeah, buddy.
Buzelis was on the Bulls. He was there, too. So, I mean, all around, it was a fun event. I think it was still a little weird that the G League team that was playing had some non-G League players on it. They were two-way guys that were on Team Vince Carter's team. I believe he was the G League coach. Yes? I'm not sure. Actually, or it might have been... No, it's Team Austin.
Yeah.
Austin Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
He was the G League coach. And Yang Hansen was on the team. So if that really makes sense. Yang Hansen was the 10th pick in the draft? I believe. Yes? I think Yang Hansen was a high pick.
That's
I'm not
the
sure.
Wrong guy.
That's a good pull. I'm
yes.
not sure.
But Yang Hansen was
a top
pick in the draft, and he was on the G League team. But I think that overall, the Rising Stars game was a fun game to watch. We saw VJ Edgecombe be the MVP of the game, and that's usually how it goes for those kinds of games. I think that everyone tried really hard. And you got to see real defense being played, a game winner as well. So I really enjoyed the Rising Stars game. I'm not sure if you guys felt the same way, but that's how I felt about it. I was definitely tapped into it.
I was also tapped in. I mean, as a Bulls fan, as a modest Buzelis Glazer, I really enjoyed watching his team win. I always enjoy, I mean, a little nod to Colin, I really like watching VJ Edgecombe play too. It's a good experience to see all these guys who are young and hungry on the court really just kind of like ball out.
Playing at the same time, too. You don't really get to see these guys play against each other.
That's a good point.
All on one team. It's kind of like watching a college All-Stars game or a European All-Stars game, too, against these guys. So it was pretty cool to see that.
Yeah.
But definitely, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean it's good to see finally like an all-star event. It was the first real game of the event, and it was actually like an actual game,
mm-hmm.
rather than a lot of all-star events that we've seen in the past. Just like chuck up shots, you know, just Trae Young and Luka laughing at half court when Luka chucks up a half court shot, and it's 200-205. Or whatever the scores have been recently.
I feel like for the Rising Stars game, you don't get that as much, just because.
Well, they care more and they're younger.
It's a different kind of game for the Rising Stars game, because yeah. a lot of these guys want to show that they are good enough to compete against better talent,
especially of course, G League guys.
Yeah, but the G League guys, it kind of sucks because it's like Matt McClung was on that team.
Yeah.
And it's like Matt McClung being dragged out of the trenches and gets thrown a bone to be on the G League team of the Rising Stars game. But I think we can all be in agreement that the Rising Stars game was pretty fun this year.
Yeah.
And definitely worth watching. As for All-Star Saturday, where the games that we got to see, the three-point contest featuring Damian Lillard winning after he has not played a game all season. The Kia Shooting Stars, Team Knicks won, which I have my own comments about that event in general. As well as the Slam Dunk Contest, which needs to most likely be over with at this point. But we could start off with the three-point contest. Seeing Damian Lillard actually competing in the three-point contest was something that was very refreshing. I think it was cool that he went into the league office this year and said, "Do you need me in the three-point contest?" And they said, "Well, it doesn't seem like we're going to have Steph Curry in the three-point contest, so why not you?" And I think seeing him dominate and seeing Damian Lillard in a Portland Trailblazers uniform again and be pretty much himself, we didn't really see anything different from him in that game in the three-point contest with his warm-up still on, did not take off his warm-up pants to take the trophy, even though Devin Booker did have three shots to tie it, and he missed all three. But I thought it was really fun that we got to see Damian Lillard finally back in action and a pretty good roster of participants during this event.
Really good roster, because Con Knipple's on it, and he should have won. It's okay. I'll cope later as a Hornets fan. But like, really good roster: Devin Booker, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Jamal Murray, Tyrese Maxey. Well, then you have Bobby Portis and Norman Powell. But
I mean, that's not like it's a bad addition to the roster.
But a lot of
what
big
Norman
names.
Norman Powell shoot from three. Let's see.
A lot of big names that people who aren't exactly tuned into basketball 100% would know, even like you would know Devin Booker regardless, Dame. You would know Donovan Mitchell, mm-hmm. Tyrese Smith. Like, you would know these guys regardless of if you're super tuned into the NBA, which I think is a lot what the All-Star is about, like trying to get those fans with like a hype event rather than just like a regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Con Knipple, a lot of people maybe not know, but obviously I know Con Knipple.
I mean, of course.
Future Rookie of the Year, but good event, you know. I won't hate on it. I think it's still good. I know it's been sidelined with, or like the three main events have always been the three-point contest, dunk contest, and then the regular All-Star game. But I think it's still good to see, because I think it's still, however much it's being influenced into the game now with how like big a lot of teams are shooting from three, shooting 50% of their shots from three at this point in a lot of games, it's still impressive to see and see how good these guys are able to just do this, like knock them down back to back to back.
I was going to say the same thing, kind of, because I feel like a lot of the time the three is not as hot as we'd like to see. Like, it's not as successful for a lot of these teams, just in general in basketball. Like, we look at Fordham. It's no hate.
We
no
don't
shame.
Have to go there.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, for example, like, just a lot of teams are not as efficient with the three as we've seen, but mm-hmm. it is really cool to see them knock them down like one after the other, because it's like it's such an important part of the game of basketball, and it's not an easy feat to do. Like, it's not an easy shot to make all the time.
And Damian Lillard joins the very short list of players that have won three three-point contests in his career. I believe the other one is Larry Bird, and there's one more player that also has that title as well. Who, Colin? I'm not sure, actually. I can Google it really quick. I will
fact
look.
Check.
Yes, because the three-point contest is one that's been held for quite a while at this point. It's been in the NBA All-Star game probably
Craig
since.
Craig Hodges.
I thought it was a random one like that, yeah.
I think he said he won three in a row.
He won three in a row. In what years? It was like the
I don't got that.
Yeah, 80s or 90s, I believe.
90, 91,
yeah,
and 92.
The 90s. So, yeah, I think that that's really cool to see Damian Lillard claim his title back. It's cool to see some of the top competition do it. And, yeah, off to the second event, the Kia Shooting Stars. I really did not care for this event even a little bit.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know what this is. I didn't watch this. I don't know what it is.
It took a hiatus from the All-Star game. It hasn't been in the All-Star game for, I believe, 11 years.
Okay.
And it was a...
Let's put it back.
It's a difference in the skills competition because the skills competition got tainted last year by Wemby and Chris Paul.
That was funny, though.
It was funny. And we can talk about Chris Paul retiring, too. Oh. That just came to my head.
Oh, we have to.
Love Chris Paul. One of my favorite players ever.
Shout out.
But it's so weird, the team makeup of this. It was like Team All-Star featuring Scottie Barnes, Chet Holmgren, and Richard Hamilton because it was like... You had to have an NBA legend with you. Rick Brunson was the guy that they walked out with to pass. And it was like I know that the NBA legends thing that they had going on, and then they had Drewski come out to be the passer. They had Rick Brunson. They had, I believe, was it Ty Dolla $ign or was it Future? I'm not sure. I don't really remember.
These are just like names.
It's
like,
just,
these
people,
are just people.
And Anthony Anderson, because he was there again. Like, he was just at All-Star Weekend. So I thought it was really funny that that was going on. And I think, like, why is Rick Brunson your celebrity? I apologize. I get that he has to be, like, I guess he has to follow Jalen Brunson around because he's the, because that's his job now. That's how he has his job security. If his son's on the team, he gets to be on the team.
Fair
as
enough.
The assistant coach. But I just thought this was stupid. Like, the passes and then the NBA legend knocking down the threes from all over the court. Like, they had the little pads on the court to knock down and then you get points. It felt like another three-point contest with extra steps. And it was kind of boring. And then we got into this the second most boring event in the entire All-Star Weekend, but we can break that down after. But do we bring back the skills competition?
I know what
as a result of
with.
This?
I know what to replace it with.
What do you
want
to replace it with?
I just found this on Wikipedia. In 2009, 2010, and 2020, they used to play horse.
Horse would be fun.
That's
it was
good.
A horse competition.
But also, horse in the NBA seems like it would take way too long.
Well, Mike Conley won in 2020, apparently.
Go.
It was. They did a virtual one in horse. 2020. Because
how do you do virtual horse?
I don't even remember that. Apparently in your house.
Because even like the All-Star game in 2020... Horse. Might have been one of the best ones we've seen in quite a while because they were actually playing defense for the fans because they were locked up in their houses and everything like that. But either way, we can get back to that later. But just, do we bring it back, Izzy, or do we change it out, or is this tier to stay for now?
I'm not really fond of it. I'm not a fan. I feel like it is kind of boring, and I watched a little bit of it, and I was like, what are we doing here? This is just random, which is just a common theme with... All-Star Weekend, it seems, just random.
Like, see Guy Fieri in the crowd with a cigar in his mouth for whatever reason?
I mean, that's kind of hard. That's kind of tough.
I guess so.
I kind of like it.
It's still ridiculous.
No, definitely. Definitely.
The slam dunk competition, really, I don't even really want
to
talk about it.
Not
Carter
much
Bryant
to say.
Probably had the... Actually, who was it? It was Jackson Hayes that had probably the most boring dunk.
He just dunked normally.
Of all time. Nothing really to speak about with it, and I hate that Mac McClung, like... posted on Instagram after being like, this is what I would have done if I was in the dunk contest, but they didn't want me there. Everyone wouldn't have done it. Like, all right, dude, we get it. I get personally not being the guy that's like, all right, come out of your cave to be the dunk guy for the All-Star Weekend. We'll sign you to a one-day contract so you could be on So you can be on an NBA team. You can wear a Philadelphia 76ers jersey and sit at the end of their bench for one or two games this season as a reward. I think you get $500,000 if you win the dunk contest or something like
that's
that.
That's a lot of money.
For him, it would be a lot of money, but you could tell that his sponsorship deals and everything else probably have been coming in because he doesn't need it anymore.
Mac, could you do it for me and then I can have the money?
I don't think Matt McClung wants to give you the money, Derek.
I think he does.
That's not.
We're actually best friends.
He's in Chicago. I'll call him.
But yeah, I think that that's probably the event that needs to go the most. I don't know what else we can probably replace it with.
Horse.
I feel like it would be too long. They don't have
we'll
that
do
much
like
time.
A mini. Pony. We'll do
pony.
A pony.
Do four letters.
Did
pony?
I just cook, guys? That
you
was
might
really
cook.
Good.
Email Adam Silver. Email Adam Silver. I mean, MPJ leaked the email and phone number.
So I was just going to say, yeah, let me call him.
You can call him.
It's right
back
there.
In the day. And then we move on to the last event of the All-Star weekend, the All-Star game in general. It was Stars versus Stripes versus World. The format in the beginning was a little weird to me, mm-hmm. but everyone set the tone coming out, and I thought that that was something that was pretty cool. And I think Wembanyama is the guy who is showing that he wants to be the future of the league. He's showing that he wants to be the next leader in the NBA. He wants to be the next face of the NBA. Because on the World team, he was the one that set the tone the most. He was mad when they lost against the team as well. I think that that was a pretty cool thing to see. Especially, you don't really see that much from the All-Star game in general. And that is something that you don't get to... We haven't seen in quite some time. And you started out with a very close game in round... Actually, all of the games were close except for the ending game where the old geezers kind of got blown
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they were probably
the
tired.
But I thought it was a fun event. I thought that it was fun to watch the players finally start playing defense and start playing well. I mean, even guys like Cade Cunningham, Anthony Edwards, they all like scored both 11 points and they showed out for that event. Jaylen Brown, too. We saw Kawhi Leonard start up again, and he was only an injury replacement player who should have probably been in the game in general. He got snubbed, probably the second biggest snub behind MPJ.
I mean, right. That's fair. And I think that's fair.
I think it's fair, too.
I'm going to hit on Kurt.
And I think that that was probably the most fun that I've had watching an All-Star game in quite some time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I agree. Like, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun to watch. The only issue that I kind of have with this roster situation, we kind of talked about this last week on Pick and Pod, is that there's so, like, I feel like there's too many players.
The issue is how many rosters. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's too many players. How many All-Stars are there? There's 24 All-Stars? Yeah. So it's not too many. Like, how are you going to, like, narrow down the amount of All-Stars that you play with? You know what I mean?
I just feel like
every
some of these...
team needs a chance to at least get one All-Star, it feels like. I know that not every team can get an All-Star, but you know what I mean?
That's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's, like, the Brandon Ingram
also, Cat
replacement.
Cat playing under the DR when he grew up in Westchester County, New York, is still a little ridiculous to me, but I think they had to even out the teams just a little bit.
I think that it's just weird to have two American teams and then a world team.
Well, I don't think there's enough world all-stars. That's kind of the issue that you're going on. That's kind of the issue that you have here, which should have probably happened, and I know why they split it into three, is because they had to split it up. So there was it was fair that they played the world team, because there would not have been enough players unless they made more world all-stars. They just brought in replacements for them to be on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's probably a way to make it a better format to where it's not just two American teams and a world team. You'd have to workshop that, but I like the idea of having the three teams do the round robin and then a championship. I like the idea, and I think it worked, like you said, Kurt, because of Wemby. Ant did an interview where he said that Wemby set, like, the tone of the game in that first game, and then everyone followed suit. So, and then Kawhi scoring, like, what, 31 and 11 minutes was crazy in his game. Wemby definitely set the tone, and it was, like, actual basketball. They played actual defense. They actually played rather than chucking up half-court shots, doing whatever they do. It was nice to see.
I also like the format. I called it stupid in the beginning when I was on one-on-one that weekend.
You always judging, bro.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the job of the radio host, is that you have to judge before you actually know what's going on. I mean, I'm getting
I think you're just pessimistic.
I'm getting a lack of money to give my opinion on these airwaves. So, I mean, I like the four-quarter format. I like that they played four quarters instead of playing shortened quarters in the mini tournament. I thought that was pretty fun. And yeah, I think All-Star Weekend, I give Adam Silver a B+.
It's fair.
I think that's a good rating.
I think that's a fair grade for Adam Silver.
If we get rid of the dunk contest, it's an A-.
Well, you have to fill it with something. So if you're going to get rid of the dunk contest, you have to figure out a new...
Pony!
But are we filling the... Okay, so then what's the other event? There has to be three events.
Pony.
Knockout.
Around the world.
Yes.
Play around the world, so no one will miss ever. They will never do the
1v1
tournament. I agree with that.
pick.
Turn on your mic so the people can hear you.
Adam Silver, I think, talked about a 1v1 tournament the other day, or 2v2 tournament.
I like the idea of, I actually was talking to my cousin about this, 3v3 basketball, like they do in the...
I could get a little crowded, though.
It will get crowded, but I feel like
3v3... half-court.
Half-court 3v3, you have to check up the ball. It's street ball at that point. And I think what would be cooler is you had team captains, and everyone's lined up on the court, and they take the play, and they take schoolyard style. That could take up the entire day. That would be really fun. And then you do the three-point contest, and that's all. I think that would be pretty fun.
I think they should do some kind of horse, though, but they pick really bad players to do it. Because then they miss more.
That would just be... Also, they don't miss more. Even though they're bad, they will still make the...
Okay, 90% versus 89%. I'll take the 89%.
The issue is those guys are not getting, one, as many minutes. Two, like, they're just not playing as much, and they're not, and the shots that they are putting up, they're just not making them in the game. I've sat and watched, like, Ish Smith, like, jack up in practice and make, like, all of his threes in a row. These guys are, this is what they get paid for.
I think horse would be a bad idea because, like, these guys aren't, like, trick shot artists. So, like,
have you seen Steph Curry do anything?
Hit an elbow jumper? Like, they're going to hit that every time.
Skyhook from half court. I think
there's going to
have, okay, give them blindfolds.
What is this, though?
Okay, like, now we're just adding on.
Now this is just random.
Get Dude Perfect to come on.
We're playing.
Already,
we're doing
circus. Had tall guy.
Andre show,
get man. Dude Perfect to come on. Tell Dude Perfect to do whatever they want and have them tell NBA players to do
Dude
trick
Perfect.
Shots.
Is that appeal to the masses, though?
I think Dude Perfect is like 14-year-olds. Yeah. Very
that's a big part
and
of the
a very
NBA.
Certain
14-year-olds and dudes who wear like Oakleys and the
I think that it would be very like it would be a very limited number of people being very excited about the Dude Perfect trick shot competition at All-Star Weekend.
Bro, yeah, they should just find a way to get players to like buy in.
I mean, John Morant said that he would do the dunk contest this year. He didn't do it. I mean, Giannis said
he's
that
not in good grace.
I know that they're injured too, but like Giannis said that he would do the dunk contest too. He didn't do it.
Hasn't he done it before?
No.
I think so.
I think Giannis doing the dunk contest would be really boring. No.
I think it would be boring also. Like, we see him dunk all the time.
It's like
a normal Tuesday.
He would do his run and dunk man routine. He would jump. He would run really fast and jump and then hopefully and knock someone down.
Think about a 1v1 tournament. Like, guys like KD, Ant.
No,
it
would be awesome, but they don't want to be embarrassed either. I think they all say they would do it, and then when it comes to actually happening, they would never do it.
No, I think they would do it.
I think you need a monetary incentive.
I don't know if a monetary incentive is enough.
I think,
like,
you're Kevin Durant making $40 million
a
year.
But, like, what's the incentive?
Yeah,
$1 million.
Money. He said money.
You can give $1 million prize to whoever wins the 1v1 tournament. I think everyone would still try. I know it means nothing, but it's still money. A charity, you can
do
charity too.
I don't really care about the charity though. I don't know if that would motivate them enough.
Charity,
I mean,
does not matter to LeBron James.
Kevin Durant does not care about charity.
LeBron would lose one. Who do we think would win?
LeBron was sending it to
KD. KD's probably the
greatest. I think Embiid would win.
No, are you kidding me?
Yeah, bro.
Embiid would hurt his ankle. Embiid would tweak his ankle before he got off the ball.
Let's think about this rationally. Come on. Without slander.
Who's
actually going to guard him?
KD. KD would beat
KD. KD can't guard him, though.
If KD gets the ball, he's probably not missing any shots that he takes
that's
against
crazy
anybody.
Crazy glaze. I know he's
that's
your
not
goat,
that's not
that's
glaze.
Crazy glaze.
Who else? Kyrie Irving probably would win.
No.
Kyrie.
He's getting that.
Kyrie would make
off the back.
Kyrie
there,
would make Joel Embiid fall on the floor.
It's never happened before.
I think it would happen in a 1v1 tournament where
1v1. Think about it. Who is a more like automatic mid-range jumper than Joel Embiid?
He can't complain to the refs, though. So that's like a big feature of his game gone.
Like, we get it, bro. You don't like Embiid, but like,
it's a big feature of his game gone.
Does anyone like Joel Embiid?
No.
Serious question.
He's a hero.
Not in Philly either.
He's a hero?
He's a hero.
To who?
He used to run around. Joel Embiid is my hero.
Joel Embiid cannot walk around Philly. He won't.
He used to run around
Philly.
He can run around. He used to run around Philly.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't anymore.
With no bodyguards.
Yeah. He can't jog anymore. I know that. He would hurt his feet.
Hey, 27 points per game, 50% from the field.
We can get to we'll get to the NBA regular.
Let's talk about it, all
right? Okay, we'll shift from the All-Star game.
22 straight 20-point games.
We'll shift to the All-Star game, and now let's look at the regular standings in the NBA so far. Pistons are still leading in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, Celtics we don't care. Skip the ninth.
Give me a second. I'm naming the top
some
four.
Some hostility here.
I'm naming the top four teams in both conferences right now. Pistons.
Subjective.
What? Of what? The top four teams.
Oh, you're just doing. You're doing
by
it
record.
By record, though.
Yeah,
but
by record. I'm not
using that kind of
I'm talking
definitive
about the
language.
I'm talking about the record.
On edge.
It should put you on edge because the 76ers are going to only take dives.
Whoa.
So you have the Pistons right now, the Celtics and the Knicks both 5 games back. The Cavaliers in fourth and only getting better because James Harden just got there. And in the Western Conference, no surprise there. It's the Thunder. The Spurs on their heels just a little bit. The Nuggets only a few games back from the Spurs and the Rockets. So we can talk about early on in the season. We can talk about what the second half of the NBA is going to look like. I personally think we could start with the East. I really don't know if anyone touches the Pistons in the East unless Jason Tatum comes back.
I don't even think if Tatum comes back, I don't know if that changes that much for the Celtics.
I think it does.
Why not?
I think it definitely changes.
I think they did the exact same thing. They're doing the exact same thing they did last year, this year, just without Tatum. It's the exact same.
I mean, Jason Tatum, as much as I like to slander Jason Tatum, I will admit I do that, he's still a great player to be added to a team that is only... It's Jaylen Brown and friends at the moment.
I don't think it would help them, though, in the way that they think, because he hasn't played all season. It's impossible to get in like shape without playing.
I don't disagree with that, and being in
and
game
also,
shape is a different story, but...
The risk of re-injury is crazy.
Like, is it even... It's not worth it
I
at
don't
that
think
point.
It's worth coming back at all.
And but the Celtics see that the... One, the East is wide open, and this is what we'll talk about with the Knicks. The East right now is wide open.
Correct.
And they know that there is an opportunity... That if you get through the Pistons, you have nobody else in front of you at the moment that will probably compete with you. Your competition is like the Magic, the Scottie Barnes Raptors. Like, and that's not, there's no hate there.
James Harden.
But there's no hate there. But the Cavaliers and the James Pistons Harden. Are probably the two strongest teams. And the Cavaliers really haven't, their depth really hasn't shown out as much as you would like it to. So... That's why, in my opinion right now, the Pistons are the team that should profit off of this the most before the Pacers get healthy again, before the Celtics get better again, and everyone else is just going to keep getting better. You don't know where Giannis ends up, and you don't know if the Bucks become better competition next year. So if I'm the Pistons, I'm trying to gun it for the top now.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't think there's anyone besides that because the Celtics again, they're right with their injuries without Jason Tatum. But again, I don't know if that how much that helps them at this point. The Knicks are the Knicks. The Cavs, like, yeah, they're better with Harden, but how much better are they really?
I think they are much better with Harden.
They
are much better with Harden.
Garland is a scrub these days.
And then everyone below that. The Raptors aren't doing anything. The Sixers aren't doing anything. The Magic aren't doing anything.
They're realistic.
May I make an appeal, though? Because if you really want to listen to it. Okay, Sixers are 0-2 against the Pistons. None of those games with Embiid. Embiid's in those games, I think they lit. Because those were both single-digit
But does
single
Embiid play?
Games. Yeah,
yes.
He's been playing. He's been healthy
but
for
Isaiah
the last
Stewart,
like, 2 months.
I also,
yeah, like a day.
I think Isaiah Stewart playing. I know you can tell.
He's
you
never
look
been
at
able
like
to
that.
Stop him once before.
I know, but Isaiah
Why
Stewart
would it
plays.
Be now,
Isaiah Stewart plays like middle linebacker. He's not. He's
First
done,
of all,
in
Isaiah
the playoff
Stewart
situation.
Still being around, that is crazy. He has so many offenses before this. And then he runs off the bench, which that's like a big no-no. And he punches Miles Bridges in the face. I mean.
He's like Draymond.
He should not be playing.
Yeah,
right
like
now.
Like,
that is what Draymond does.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, never to that extent. That was crazy.
Listen, I understand.
That should be 20 games plus.
It's not
got
20
two.
Games.
I mean, Paul George gets 25 for
because it's Paul
like,
George.
Some mental health drug. Like
because well, it's him. It's
well,
Paul
he was
George.
Also, he was taking enhancement drugs.
No, he wasn't. It was strictly
That's what he's
anti-drug policy, not PED.
And Kawhi Leonard is also going to be like.
He's
gonna.
Like stem cell
he's gonna. He's gonna be. Well, no. He's gonna. He's gonna be suspended for planting trees. But we're getting off topic.
No, I don't think he will.
He's
honestly.
Gonna get suspended.
I think it's
for that.
Gonna be Ballmer.
But we're gonna get. We're gonna get. We're getting off topic. But
I'm sleeping on the Sixers. Just
I'm not
looking at their head-to-head versus these top.
I understand
teams
that
with and without Joel.
I understand that with Joel Embiid they are better, but Joel Embiid also is just such a flight risk these days in general. So if I'm gonna say like this is like me talking about this is like me talking about the Knicks. And talking about how great they are when they have Mitchell Robinson playing and how much better they are with Mitchell Robinson on the court. But Mitchell Robinson has played a combination, I think, of probably a full season in the last 5 years. That's the amount of games he's played.
That's a little bit of a weak equivalence, right? I mean, but comparing Mitchell Robinson to Joel Embiid.
But you understand my point.
No, I understand your point, but I'm saying throughout the season thus far, for the last however many months, he's shown that he can be on the court, and it's led to winning. So
I mean, you add VJ Edgecombe. VJ Edgecombe is definitely a big addition.
Defensively, no. Come on, let's be honest here.
Paul George.
Defensively, he has been like one of the better wings in the NBA this year.
He's not playing anymore, so it really doesn't make a difference.
Well, yeah, but he will come back
in the playoffs.
And he'll probably be in shape, considering like I'm assuming he's not just sitting at home. Like
he's
I'm
on a podcast
he's at
right
the facility.
Now.
PG podcast.
Should we invite him on our podcast?
I wish Paul George would come on our.
Oh my
podcast.
Gosh.
Podcast P on Pick and Pod.
Nah,
how can
the,
we make that happen?
Pod.
Let's talk
he
to
did,
Bobby.
He did, but,
to focus
like, but if we, hit up Podcast P and we were like, yo, come on Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Yeah, send those two like, co-hosts.
He'd make them pull up and he would go on FaceTime and put himself on the mic a little bit. But yeah, and we can talk about the Knicks a little bit now as we are in New York. I think the Knicks window is so small this season. You have to pay Jalen Brunson. And everyone's old. Everyone is getting old. Brunson will be 35 after his when he gets re-upped, and it's going to probably be 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
This was put in perspective for me the other day. Brunson will be 35 years old on a max contract. And Cat has his contract figured. Has to get his contract figured out. Mikal Bridges is in here for the long haul.
The whole Mikal Bridges thing, that blew up any chances I think they had. What was it? How many picks? 6 picks for Mikal Bridges?
Not only that, they signed him.
Well, to a max contract.
Yes,
right?
They signed Mikal Bridges.
And he's been playing good, though.
He's not like...
He's not worth that.
He's not... That's why your pickups in
They easily could have traded for Giannis.
But that's why your pickups are Jeremy Sochan.
I kind of like that.
I don't really love it. I don't think Jeremy Sochan has shown much of anything.
Yeah, but he's
shown
he's like a glue guy.
Top 10 pick in the NBA. And
he's a glue guy in the locker room.
He's a glue guy?
That's important. That's underrated.
It's not about it being like rated well or anything else
kinda
like that.
Kind of reminds me of PJ Tucker if he couldn't shoot.
Yeah, PJ Tucker, great. You really want to be PJ Tucker?
Why not? Great journeyman. I mean, great career.
Great journeyman. He poked KD in the eye.
Greatest
shoe
collection ever.
He poked KD in the eye during the Eastern Conference semifinals.
He was playing football.
And Giannis stomped on Kyrie's ankle, but we don't have to get to that again.
Oh, we can talk about that.
My brain is reliving the memories. But I want to get all of your takes on where the Knicks are this season, if they still can compete in the East, as well as if the window completely closes after this year, or if they have one more year left.
I think because the Pistons are doing so well, I don't think the Knicks are gonna get very far. But
and the Pistons are younger.
That's true, but. Speaking of, like, being younger, older, whatever, age, I think that the Knicks have good potential with, like, Pacome Dadier, great potential with Tyler Koelig. Why are you laughing?
Pacome Dadier is a scrub.
He is.
I've seen him play because I went to a G League game. He's good.
He definitely dominate the G League.
I mean, Jhené Broome dropped 50 in the G League.
No, that's not.
Killian
guys,
Hayes
that's
averages
not what I mean.
50 in the G League.
Killian Hayes is a G League baller.
He started on the Nets a few years ago and I think averaged, like, 2 points. Continue, sorry.
I don't think he's a scrub. I don't think he's bad. He's young.
How old is he?
He's July 27, 2005. So
that is actually pretty
my
young.
Age. He's 20 years wow. old.
He's young.
Yeah, he's 20 years old.
That's young. Like he has the time to develop, I think. And there's other players that have time to
Muhammad
develop.
Muhammad Diawara.
Yeah.
That's a guy I'm excited about.
Almost my birthday twin, April 29th. It's crazy.
He has that Pascal Siakam.
They
should
have traded Jordan Clarkson when they had the chance. No one wanted him, but they should have gotten rid of him.
If they could have traded Cat, I think they would have.
Well, no one wants...
No
Cat
one wants
Cat is
that.
The archetype
say,
of a center that is the worst one in the league.
I will say, though, come playoff time, like, last playoffs, he was pretty good.
But he hasn't
times.
Been shooting well this
no,
season.
No, he hasn't, but he was decent in the playoffs. I mean, I'm sure you can expect him to be all right, but... I don't know. It's so open you can't... Because I don't think the Pistons are, like, the big, bad Pistons. I'm
their
not
scoring
scared of the Pistons.
Their scoring effort is weak in the one end, but their defense
is so
good. They're
a great defense, but if you have a real big man and you have guards that can...
Isaiah Stewart is a real big man, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, yeah, he is, He's a good rim protector against guards.
You don't think Isaiah Stewart's a real big man?
He's only 6'9".
But, like, it's not about him being tall. It's his presence.
No, but I'm saying when they play against real guys like Cat, guys like Embiid, guys
they've
like
swept,
Jokic.
They did. The Pistons did kill the Knicks the last time they met them.
Well, it is Cat, but guys like Jokic or Embiid.
But that's my point. Physical defense.
Jokic or Embiid.
Physical defense against. If the Knicks have to play in the Pistons again.
Or Giannis.
The physical defense that the Pistons play. Is way too much for the Knicks, I feel like.
Yeah, because Asar Thompson on Jalen Brunson, that's a great matchup.
It is a great matchup.
For Asar.
And Caris LeVert, Nets legend, is still in the Detroit Pistons, man. I miss Caris LeVert. All right.
Former 20-point-per-game scorer.
Former a long time ago.
Yeah,
this point.
He's been in the league for a while.
Yes, quite some time.
Out of Michigan?
I don't remember. I don't know. But
I think it was
moving on to to my Caris LeVert love, I think we've broken down the East. I want to hear where you guys, who's coming out of the Eastern Conference this year. And we'll talk about their opponent in the coming up. So who's coming out of the East?
I think the Pistons.
I don't know.
Thank
Can
you
I say
for
the
that.
Hornets? Should I say the Hornets to be funny?
No.
I
mean, no. Let's be realistic and reasonable. I'm not going to say the Bulls. You can't say the Hornets.
Insane. I'll say the Knicks. I'll say the Knicks pull awesome.
The Hornets are definitely clicking now, but I don't know if they're too young when they get into the playoffs, they won't be going very far.
It's like too late for them to click. They should
also
have clicked earlier.
Also that, but it takes time too.
I mean, yeah. Like, they are doing well. Like, it's a good, you know, good stance.
The Hawks?
Just too many injuries.
Atlanta, man. It's just what happens.
It's Atlanta.
ATL is a curse.
Yep.
You're violating a lot of people with this.
He's not wrong, though.
Who do we think is going to make the play-in?
The classic. Chicago Bulls.
No, Chicago's out.
No, they're out.
It's, I don't even think it's going to be the Bulls. Like,
no,
it's
no
going...
Bulls are probably not going to make
no,
it.
But
they've lost six
so
in a row.
That's the classic play-in. It's going to be the Hawks, the Hornets. It's 10 through 8, right?
7.
10 through 7?
7 through 10, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be what it is now, I think. It's going to be the Magic, actually. No, it's going to be the Magic, Heat, Hornets, Hawks. Yeah.
I think it
is now is probably what it's going to stay as.
That's fair.
That's good game.
I just don't know.
Those are good hoops.
Even if the team's like at the bottom, like try and climb up, I don't think there's enough time in the season to climb any higher than they are.
No, the Nets are solid in 13.
Are we like 60 games?
That's not what I meant.
Yeah, we're like 20 games left right now.
Okay.
Season ends very soon. Now to the Western Conference. I don't think we have to talk about the Western Conference a lot. I mean,
I'm
Spurs,
bored.
Nuggets, Rockets
I'm
are just
so bored
regressing.
Of OKC.
Like, well, I don't believe in them at all.
I love the Rockets only because I think they're quite fun, and it's not only because of KD. I really also enjoy how good Sengun has been this year, and he has been a legitimate like secondary to Kevin Durant as the other guy with them. And playing that big man role that you got to see against, like, when the Spurs were getting good and all of that. Playing that big man role with the other people next to him. But I think the Thunder are just too much of a force right now.
I agree.
And don't get me wrong, the Spurs are just too young. Eventually, they will become a dynasty again because Wemby, I think, is not going anywhere. They're going to throw as much money as possible at him. They might give him team stock. and they're going to throw as much money as possible at him. And they're going to get better. I just don't think right now the Thunder are anything to really touch.
I think the Spurs are going to stick with the three guards.
I like the three guards.
I do like it too, but if one leaves, who do you think it'll be?
Oof.
I don't think you
question.
Can trade Stephon Castle at this point.
I love Stephon Castle.
You can't.
I my friend earlier in the year was like, why do you still have Stephon Castle? And I'm like, he is the most value that you're going to have on the Spurs team because his value is pretty much unmatched, in my opinion, for the Spurs. I really like Stephon Castle. De'Aaron Fox, don't get me wrong, he's awesome.
He's been playing really well.
He's also awesome, but that guard lineup where you can have a secondary off the bench, a real guard coming off the bench with your secondary unit and a real starter as well, that's why they're going to be tough.
If they want to do small ball plus Wemby, they could put Stephon Castle small forward.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I agree with that. And that's how they're going to play soon.
It depends on what Dylan Harper is.
That's going to be tough. And he's shown flashes, Dylan Harper.
Yeah,
he's averaging 10 points a game.
Game the other week.
He's averaging 10 points a game, but you have to have a more consistent Dylan Harper before that happens.
He's got to get more minutes, though.
Yeah. But that's going to progress as things go on.
So this year, no, I don't see them They could probably go conference finals, but I don't see them going to the finals.
So we'll do that. Who's going to go to the conference finals against the Oklahoma City Thunder?
I mean, if it's playoffs and you have to factor in like experience, I mean, Nuggets would be a safe
bet. Nuggets would be a yeah.
I'm taking the Rockets.
But honestly, I think the Spurs like the Rockets. Are just kind of a better team than the Rockets or the
They are.
Rockets though, come playoff time, their defense is going to be like
their star power is a lot better on the Rockets.
But Şengün, he's going to falter to guys like Jokic or Wemby.
But you have Steven Adams still.
Or even Chet so you have and that Isaiah big, Hartenstein on
But you have that two big man lineup where Steven Adams.
He's not going to be ready for the playoffs.
You don't think so?
What was his injury?
I think Steven Adams was coming back.
It was some like Achilles thing.
I thought he was going to come back. Let's see.
I mean, if you can get him back, yeah, it'll be good. But I don't think
enough. He's out for the season.
Yeah. So let's think about it then.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
If you have Hartenstein and Holmgren. Realistically, Şengün's not going to do much. He's going to average like 14-6-4. 14-9-4, whatever.
I think that's fair.
Then Wemby, Jokic.
Not bad numbers.
Score on Jokic. He can average 25 points a game on Jokic, but Jokic is going to average 30 on him. I mean,
Jokic is going to average 50.
Yeah, so, honestly. He's not going to carry
sad because
either.
Cam Johnson, too, is like has been
he's
so
been,
injured,
been
too.
Really I mean, he wasn't very
he hasn't
good
been bad.
When he was playing, though.
I have a friend who is a Nuggets fan at the moment, and he's talking about how Cam Johnson is the guy they're going to trade because Peyton Watson is the future.
Peyton Watson's good. I like Peyton Watson.
I don't know how good he's going to be. I mean, do you rely on Peyton Watson to be your future guy?
Are you off the bench? Yeah, you can.
When Cam is the guy that you have, well, you have to pay one of them. And
I think they would definitely choose to pay
Peyton Watson.
Yeah.
But Cam is the guy that's a surefire.
Is he a free agent coming up?
I don't know if he's a free agent, but his money has to come off the books is the issue.
Well, he doesn't have like a he's not getting paid $100 million, right?
He's getting paid a good amount of money. I know that, and you're gonna have because you can't give up anybody else, pretty much for that.
He hasn't
I think
shown
that,
enough for them yet to warrant that kind of money.
I agree with that. He's also getting paid $95 million over 4 years. So yeah, and he's off the books 2026, 2026.
So
next year, yeah.
But
so
they probably have his rights or whatever, his bird rights or
something like that. Yeah.
Also, Austin Reeves, he's going to have to get paid soon.
Well, that's the issue with the
he's eligible for 5 years, $240 million.
So that's the issue with the dynasty now. It doesn't exist anymore. And when you're the OKC Thunder, you have another
All CJ McCollum's fault.
You have another top 10 pick. You have another top 10 pick in the draft again after this year because the Clippers suck.
Or you have a top 10 pick in this draft.
Yes, yeah.
That's worth $100
million. So all that happens is you just keep picking and getting more and better and better. So yeah, I think the Thunder probably take the Larry O'Brien home to this year. I think that's the NBA landscape that we're going to be looking at come playoff time. Does anyone else have anything to add before we wrap this show up and head out onto the road?
I don't want it to be the Thunder.
I don't want it to be the Thunder either.
They're gonna have to pay guys too. So.
They're inevitable. But the thing is,
already paid J-Dub.
You pay your guys
and SGA, so it's just Hartenstein off.
You
that's
pay
an easy trade.
You pay your guys, and then you have a top 10 pick next year, and you pick someone that you can potentially get rid of Hartenstein
Rich
for.
Richards.
Exactly,
it's insidious.
It is bad. That's insidious. What the Brooklyn. That is how the Brooklyn Nets are building, ladies and gentlemen. to close out,
it
I'm
all
going to
circles
miss,
around to the Nets.
It does. How we start the show is how we end the show. I'm going to miss Chris Paul quite a lot. We didn't get to that, but I'm going to miss Chris Paul as well.
Sad.
My
no
goat. No
farewell tour.
The Clippers cut him, and Kawhi Leonard grew trees.
They clipped him.
I'd like to... Good one. I'd like to thank everyone on the show today. Derek Boulier sitting next to me, Izzy Randazzo, Colin Banks on the production board. I've been Kurt Sipple with this episode of Pick and Pod. Bobby Chaffardini is our sports director. Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports. Thank you.